just recently. How that has sustained me and kept me going all these 20-odd years. Some people think I'm some sort of, you know, superhero, some kind of, you know, keeping it straight, consistent sort of guy. Can I tell you, I have feelings and fears just like you, but I have in my life developed a desperation and a need and a pattern of prayer in my life, and I felt somewhat neglectful that I had not communicated this to the church family. Because I think if many of us are honest, our prayer life is rather dull and rather robotic and rather all about ourselves. You know, the disciples, they walked with Jesus. They saw the most incredible miracles. They heard his mind-blowing teachings that reversed and turned human thinking upside down, like love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. His miracles, his teachings, his lifestyle, his powerful and unswerving lifestyle. They watched him night, morning. They lived with him. They remained with him. They saw him for 3 whole years. And you get up to Luke chapter 11. And finally, after obviously watching him and his prayer life with the Father, one of the disciples begs him. He says, "Sir, would you please tell us how to pray? We want to live like you. We want to have the power that you have." The disciples never said, "Teach us how to preach. Teach us how to make good decisions. Teach us how to have a good marriage and keep our wives happy," for that would be almost impossible. "Lord, teach us how to pray." The disciples yearned to live like Jesus. I'm persuaded in my own life, often it's the last thing I might do, or it's the thing that is so inept and so powerless and so minimal in our life, and we're so busy doing things, and this very thing that God has given us, this gift, this ability to cultivate intimacy and power, is often left neglected. So let's go in Luke chapter 11. You'll also find it in Matthew, and I want to remind you, Jesus is teaching principles here. This is not, I think, unfortunately, in some traditions in the body of Christ, the Lord's Prayer has become robotic and recited, and our brain is thinking about lunch. And we just religiously say it. This is like a skeleton. You don't hug a skeleton. A skeleton, your skin, your organs, everything hangs off your skeleton. This is a skeleton. It's principles for our prayer to hang off. And it's guided me for 20-odd years. Praise the Lord. All kinds of languages, and I affectionately call it the 5 P's. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Praise. This is I'm inviting you all to my lounge, where I usually spend my morning with the Lord. My Father. I say different kinds of words, but I capture this concept, this idea, that he's my heavenly Father. I don't know whether it's my upbringing or my absence of a father, but that is significant to me. And inside of that, just that word, Abba Father, is love and truth, discipline, encouragement. Father, I'm your child. You're my shepherd, my counselor, and my savior, my Lord and my King. I respect you. And I love you, but sometimes I don't always love you, and I want to love you more. You're my healer, my body, soul, and spirit. I praise him. I thank him. I thank him for health. I thank him for all that I think of in my life, and I thank him for being in my life and for changing my life. I praise the Father. Your kingdom come. Can everybody say kingdom? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. I love to declare the kingdom of God. I declare your righteousness and your peace and your joy over my life, Lord, over my wife, over my family, over my children, over my ministry. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. And when you think about a kingdom, it's a king. It's protection. It's provision. He's a good king. Hallelujah. He's a good king. Your will be done, Father, in my life. Cause my pride to go. If you've got to change my thinking, break something in me, break it, Lord, I pray, that your kingdom would come, your glory, your worship would be established in my life. That's our priority. question or comment now. So far, it's all about God. There's so much more to learn about teaching. I personally have enjoyed this week just getting into some real, just there's so much more about prayer, particularly to the Jews, what that is. An incredible reservoir and resource, and yet often we just say a little bit here and there. Incredible alignment with the peace of God. But here we go. Then we get the focus off Him to us. The praise and priority. Here we go. Provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, You're my provider. I gladly give You my tithe and my offerings. Thank You for the ability to make wealth. This is all Yours, God. Let me not hold anything back. If You want it all, I want to have the kind of heart to worship You and obey You with everything that I have. It's all Yours. Let none of these things, my bank balance, the house that we own, freehold, let none of those things have our heart. Lord, I love You. Lord, I ask You for the following requests, and if I have need, that's where I put in my specific requests. And forgive me my debts. Some translations say sins. Forgive me my debts as I forgive the debtors. This is the moment, ladies and gentlemen. You see, in this prayer, 67 words, you'll find all of God's promises bound up within them, and you'll find all human aspiration wrapped up within them. It's like a potent, powerful vitamin. It's all of it. It's this place where we connect with God desperately and beautifully. And I say, God, search my heart. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Please cleanse me. 1 John 1:9, maybe one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. If we confess our sins to God, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Hallelujah. Who's glad they're saved tonight? Who's glad they know Jesus tonight? Who, hallelujah, how's your prayer life? Busy trying to figure it all out? Yep. Oh, Lord, all for You. Lord, let me figure it all out. Okay, if I just don't tithe, or I just don't do that, let me get 3 jobs and no time with the family. Let me just try and take control, because turn to your neighbor and say, hey, I think you might be a control freak. No, just joking. Okay, let's move along here. Forgive me my debts, and I'll forgive others also, Lord. Lord, I choose to forgive. I learned a lovely little saying years ago. I choose to not nurse, what is it? Nurse or disperse any offense against me. Lord, I will not nurse or disperse. Forgive them. Forgive them. I speak blessing over them, Lord. I pray, help me to love like You love. Help me to love like You love. Praise, priority, provision. Here we go, protection. And do not lead me into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Lord, I want to walk in truth. Again, I'm going to repeat. It's not a formulaic, dry, boring, robotic little religious prayer. This is a skeleton. My words change. But I have this on my tablet. I lay that out there, and I just pray in the Holy Spirit, pray in the tongues, and then I just walk my way through. Basically, the 5 P's daily. Any kind of growth that I've had in my life has really been a combination of consistent, authentic prayer and discipleship, genuine discipleship, largely from Pastor Ken. I love Pastor Ken Du. He sorted me out big time. Hallelujah. And I needed it, didn't I, honey? Oh, hallelujah, that's good. Protection. Lead us not into temptation. The world's full of temptations, isn't it? Isn't it, guys? Not just sexual temptation. Temptation to say a half-truth. Temptation to lie. Temptation to make excuses. All kinds of temptations are surround us, and I have a very clear idea and understanding of that we live in a war. And I pray, Lord, every day, Lord, I put on the helmet of salvation. Guard my mind from thoughts of discouragement and insecurity. Lord, I put on the breastplate of righteousness. May this heart be for You and You alone. Help preserve that I feel the pulling of the world. I feel my nature within me drawing me to one side. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I put on the belt of truth. Interesting when you look at the whole Roman soldier, boys and girls, everything above hangs up on the belt of truth as a matter of interest. It's Big teaching right there. The shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and the shoes of the gospel of peace. Wherever I go today, can I take the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me see opportunities to share the love of God today. And then finally, which Matthew picks up, Luke doesn't have this, but Matthew says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is not about Richard Urban or every nation. It's not about me, myself, and I. It's about Jesus. It's about his kingdom being established. It's about his glory and his honor in my life. Can you give me an amen? We're preaching good tonight. Children, if those adults are getting lazy and tired, you just scream it out. Hallelujah. Amen. Children, can you say amen?
Amen.
That's good. Come on, Caitlin. You work with me now. You are the power. I wish that we would all have a kingdom understanding. We serve a king. Not just an advisor and a counselor. All of that, but he's a king. Worthy of worship. Worthy of adoration. Lord, please help me to love you with all my heart. Lord, help me to love you with all my mind. Help me to love my neighbor as myself, and I commit myself today to advance your kingdom. We have right there, my friends, 5 P's. Can we say it together? Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Power. Woo! The Lord's Prayer, it's really the disciples' prayer. Whoever wrote that title in the Bible, I need the head read. It's the disciples' prayer. This is the one prayer that we are taught to pray. Not just the words you see. I got to understand, my friends, it's the spirit with which you pray is more important with the words that you clothe it with. It's the spirit. It's the yearning. It's the authenticity of your heart and your mind to touch God and have him transform us in this beautiful relationship. Here's my one point today, tonight. Prayer changes everything. Prayer changes everything. I really am honored to talk to the children tonight. I hope, children, that you can remember the 5 P's. If you remember nothing else from Pastor Richard, try to remember the 5 P's and it will serve you well. God welcomes you. You see, children, you don't have to be able to know all the Bible. You don't have to even be brainy. You don't even have to be old. You just have to be desperate. And I found in my life, when I'm called to the deeper places of prayer, often it's because of desperation. And I've also found in my life, the times that I've neglected my prayer is when I'm not very desperate for God. And we wonder why, and we might even blame the devil, why we find ourselves in situations that we can't do anything like Elijah, other than pray and trust the Lord. It is not just prayer, but it's a good place when it can only be just prayer. Can someone give me an amen? Was Elijah a super saint? He ain't. Were the disciples super saints? Somehow they were the elect few. They were the good guys. I mean, they had the discipline. They were the guys of the daytime. They were the guys who never really did anything too much wrong. No, sir, no, madam. They were just as human and made just as many mistakes as you and I. They were not a super saint. Elijah was not a super saint. Do you think you are a super saint tonight? No, we're not. We together, no matter what color of your skin, no matter what language you prefer to speak, no matter what crazy kind of food we might eat, God invites us to become people of prayer. Jesus says this incredible thing in the Bible, that you can do the same things he did, maybe even more. Can I tell you tonight, that will never happen unless we cultivate authentic prayer. Unless we prioritize our time with the God. And I want to suggest to you today, no one's ever too busy to pray to God. Praying is really like breathing. To pray without ceasing. To pray and not just recited stuff. Not just boring stuff. I'm talking about connecting. I'm talking about cultivating a consistent life of prayer. Is it Ghani? Where are you, brother? Ghani, are you here? Come on out here, man. I want to I want to use this guy, and he has an illustration. Come on, brother. Barong and oil. Here we go. Here we go. Here's the Zagani now. Now, the barong does not do it too much justice tonight. Come right here, man. But this guy, he's ripped. Can you see? He's ripped. Seriously. I don't know what percentage fat you've got, but it's probably in the negatives if you're such a thing. He's an inspiration to me. He's a man that I walk with. But he is got a great body in terms of physical fitness. Don't go there, hallelujah, but he is very well preserved. And you weren't born this way, were you? Born this way? No, you were. It takes a mixture of desire and discipline. Desire and discipline. If you just rely upon discipline, you won't get there, because all of us are human. We have feelings that go up and down. We have motivation goes up and down. But there's desire that fuels the discipline. Amen? And then you can have a body just like that. Go and sit down, buddy. You see, I really don't want to labor the discipline regular thing too much. But at the same time, I don't want to also just wait for feelings. I pray each day to God, whether I feel like it or not, whether I get to bed at 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. in the morning or not, whether I'm traveling overseas, not because I'm superhuman, but because I'm a wreck if I don't, because I just cannot do what I'm called to do without this relationship with God. I just cannot do it, and neither can you. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to cultivate a heart to pray. That is the place where supernatural peace of God and joy will come down and fill your mind and fill your soul when circumstances around you. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 16 says, God is a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I wonder what our lives would be like in a week if we just said, God, I'm going to spend time with You. I mean, I really want to get some time with my Father. I wonder what our lives would look like if we committed a chunk of time every day. Not motivated by discipline, not just motivated only by just Pastor Richard, but in our hearts. Prayer changes everything. That relationship, that need, that want, that mind battle that the enemy's just plowing away, just throwing these thoughts in your head. It is prayer. It's the Word of God. It's confessing the Word of God. It's praying to the Lord. Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, God wants to bring heaven to earth. God wants to bring the goodness, the power, the authority of heaven into your life. Am I preaching the Word of God? Are you believing me tonight? That's God's agenda, not just to survive and get to heaven, but to change earth while we're here, to live a different kind of life, to live a holy kind of life, to live a victorious kind of life. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Living with Him and walking in intimacy with Him. How's your prayer life? Parents, I urge you, pray with your children. Pray with them. Don't shut the door. Husbands and wives, let your children wander by and see you on your knees. See the book open. See the words written down or typed, and let them see authentic prayer and intimacy and relationship with the God. Let them see a husband and a wife and a man rise to a feet and declare the Word of God over his city and to declare it over his home and say, my whole history, my whole heritage is full of brokenness, full of discouragement, full of divorce, whatever it might be, some kind of addiction, and declare, today it stops in my home. This nation will change if just the people in this room will dare to believe and be desperate for God to move. it'll transform our life. Let's just close our eyes in prayer. Let's close our eyes right now. We can all just take a little moment here just to say, Father, where are we really at? Have I been distracted? Have I allowed things to heap up in my mind and cloud my judgment? Christian believer tonight, I just want to ask you, I wonder if your prayer life needs to grow. Maybe in quantity, maybe in quality. Maybe it's time to once again grab this beautiful gift. And use it. And exercise it. And allow it to lead you into a place of purity and power and revelation. The Word of God. Maybe it's not been a priority of late. Tonight, you want to make that fresh commitment to the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry. I've let the well run dry. I think it was Pastor Ken that once said, an unplugged fan will eventually stop. How's your power? If that's you tonight, I'm not going to pull you out, but I do just want to pray for you. If that's you tonight and you say, Pastor, I need to look at my prayer life. I need to really make a few changes. I really want to pray as the Lord taught us to pray. If that's you tonight, can I ask you just to slip your hand up? That's me. Anybody else in the room? Your prayer life, you acknowledge that your prayer life needs to change, needs to improve, needs to grow. It's been left alone. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Put your hands down. Father, tonight I pray for these beautiful people across this auditorium, men and women and children, teenagers. Lord, I pray that even more than the words that I've shared tonight, but Lord, in their own spirit, I'm sure there's an witnessing and a realization. Lord, I pray tonight that they would, Lord, bring, or sorry, that they would, Lord, tonight just sense that beautiful spiritual invitation to come into a place of prayer. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, but I pray tonight that, Lord, in this moment of reflection and decision, that, Lord, we would you'd speak to us and you'd speak to each individual to prioritize what does that look like for them, and, Lord, to lead them into a place of intimacy with you, to praise you, to prioritize you, to receive provision from you, to receive protection from you, and to once again affirm that you are the most powerful force on the earth, our Lord Jesus Christ. While our eyes are closed tonight, if you're here tonight and you're not following Jesus, I just want to talk to you for a brief minute. On that day at Mount Carmel, Elijah spoke to all the children of Israel and indeed the prophets, and he said, words to the effect of, how long are you going to sit on the fence? He said to them, choose whom you will serve this day. If God be God, serve him. But if your God is the true God, serve them. He appealed to them to make a decision. Tonight I want to do exactly the same thing. If you're not following Jesus, and life is not working out for you, I want to ask you tonight, have you come to the point in your life that you want to follow Jesus Christ? Have you come to the point of honesty where you know it's simply not working trying to do this life without God? You want to give your heart to Jesus Christ tonight? If that's you, I want you just to pray this prayer. Don't pray it out loud. Just pray it quietly in your own heart. And just pray after me. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me. I want to give you my heart. I want to turn from sin. I want to follow you. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want to become a Christian. Thank you, Lord.